This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That stunk. Wendy's Big Show on a Wednesday. What? Who cares what day it is? Bucks got blown out last night. Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Final. Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM. The Fan, 414-799-1250. They're open for you. You can jump on in. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, Anthony Mandela on the other side. And Sparky, what on earth was that post-game show like last night after the blowout goes the other way, as the Bucks haven't seen much of at all in this year.
Look, people's emotions were obviously running high. They were running higher on Twitter than they were on the postgame show, I thought, for the most part.
Twitter was bonkers last night.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gary. Steal a word that you don't like.
Right.
We are going to hear that song. We are going to hear that song. We need to get excited today. We need to lift everybody's spirits a little bit.
Stop playing it. That may be the problem.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people now that are going to jump off this bandwagon and say, well, they weren't all...
Why would they do that?
Come on, man. You've lived here long enough to know how this works. Every time, well, at least from a Buck standpoint, Brewer standpoint, too.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a first sign of a trouble happens, everybody assumes that it's going to go downhill and they're going to blow it and blow this opportunity and lose the thing. And you got people thinking they're not going to win the next two games. It's going to be over before Saturday in Toronto. So people have completely lost their minds a little bit now. Night's sleep last night. We'll see what it sounds like today on the big show meets the post game show after the Brewers are done. We'll be taking Bucks calls throughout the day. But I'm just – Eric Name, by the way, will join us at 520. His phone now works. He's back in Milwaukee, so that's good. Doesn't work in Canada. So if anybody's trying to get a hold of Eric Name on Saturday, good luck to you. But Toronto played really well. Bucks didn't hustle. Loose balls. Stuff around the rim, they're getting 2-3 rebound opportunities. Bucks got out-rebounded in the game by Toronto. That should never happen and hasn't happened. So that's another bad sign, another bad look for this Bucks team. Giannis comes out first 3-4 minutes of the game. Looks like he's going to go on some huge roll. My opinion, he airballs that free throw, and I think it shook him a little bit. Then they started throwing that wall up again, and that was the end of that. And there was no response. Middleton played well outside of that dumb foul at the end of the first half. Played well. I think they should have fed him more in the second half of that basketball game until he showed that he wasn't feeling like he could make every shot. He was making so many shots that instead of worrying about everybody else, they should have just kept feeding him. Let him take 25 shots. Who cares? He was the only one making shots at that point. So let him take as many shots as you want. Mirotić was missing shots. He kept firing them up no matter what. So he had no conscience. And that's what they want, right? Budenholzer, let it fly. Don't worry about it. If you miss 10 shots, take another 3-point shot and see if that one falls. So that's kind of how they go about it. But they got outplayed. They got beat. And, you know, Gary said before that the second game might have been that outlier with the Bucks blowing out the Raptors. Well, now the Raptors blow out the Bucks. So now you've had two ugly victories for both teams and two blowout victories for both teams. And the series is tied at 2 apiece. And you've got 3 games to go, 2 of which are in Milwaukee.
And Gary, yeah, it's no longer an outlier because now Toronto was able to do it to you on the second time you play on their home floor. What did you see last night first? And people can join the show at 414-799-1250. Last night with, I couldn't agree more with Steve, when you look at the airballed free throw by Giannis, the Bucks were rolling at that point. Obviously, Kyle Lowry was crazy in the first half, and he was good again last night, but the air was seemingly taken out of the Bucks' sails right away after that missed free throw, and it kind of just went downhill from there.
Well, I don't see last night as an outlier game.
I see that game as like the other games outside of the outlier game in game number two. Toronto, if you think about it, in game number one, were winning the whole time. The Bucks came back and won that.
Yeah, they had the lead going into the fourth quarter.
I mean, I think they may have been up at some point in game number one by double digits, Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 13.
The only thing difference between game one and game four is that the Bucks didn't make a run.
Well, I would disagree with that. They cut it down multiple different times to well, okay, two, to three.
How about this? The Bucks didn't win.
They didn't flip the switch.
They didn't win. That's the difference. Between one and four, the difference is the Bucks didn't win.
Sure.
Game one and game four to me were much of the same. But the Bucks didn't win it. It wasn't, I mean, they had nothing. Bucks had nothing. They had nothing. And it's the same old thing. Folks, I don't care if you call in and beat me up because I'm going to keep top of the key. I'm going to put my head down and I'm just going to run in there. That's defendable.
Especially when you can predict it, yes.
There's nothing different. And so what they're going to tell you is, well, Giannis is going to give us more effort. He's going to hustle a little bit more. He's going to try more.
Okay. Well, you can't lie and say that in that second half of the game, the energy level was down completely the entire roster.
Well, I mean, sometimes that happens, right? And they had no answers. I don't think they weren't trying.
Agree.
Former player here. There has never been, not practice, I may not have tried, but there has never been a game that I have ever played in my entire life where I said, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Never. I know we got people who have never played before, and folks love to say that, but I'm going to tell you right now, for me, I don't know how you do that as a player, but there has never been a game since I was Little League that I've played in my entire career where I didn't try. Never. Practice? Yeah, you probably can get me in practice. Mm-hmm. But in a game situation, never, never, never. Some games you may not have it. You know, you may not just be on, maybe a little off.
And you can feel that late in the game.
But there's never been a game where I didn't try. Never. Now, I don't know about those guys. And I hear people say that a lot. You get coaches, too, that say that stuff.
And throw the quit word around very easily.
Never been a game. I've never. Now, there have been games where guys have just been physically better than me and beat the dog crap out of me. You know what? That's happened where I just wasn't good enough and there's nothing I can do. Then maybe I need my coach to come up with something to help me do something different angle, make an adjustment. Might need to help me out a little bit. This guy's good.
Sometimes you need your teammates to pick it up.
Maybe. But listen, I said Bucks in six. Is Leroy coming in today?
No, he's on his honeymoon.
Okay, good.
According to his tweet from O'Hare.
All right, good. I said Bucks in six, and here is why we kind of get on Leroy sometimes of being a homer. He just says, you know, this Joker's was in the Super Bowl and lost it. So from a player standpoint, he kind of understand how stuff kind of go. That's why he said, y'all kind of egged him to it yesterday, got him to say some stuff. That's why he always said, I just want to see him win. Former players or players know that things can go wrong, knows that the tide can change. Fans can say sweep. Fans can say in five. Fans can say in six. We fans may get one day at a time, one game at a time. We may think that just talk, but it's not, because we know how tides can truly change. And that is what's kind of happened in the series. The Bucks still got an opportunity to win it. But I think what has bared out so far in four games, whether you like it or not, is, to me, comes down to Kawhi and Giannis. Now, I said that from day one. And did we have a question? Did Giannis have that moment, or was that the last series or whatever?
Yeah, with his Matrix moment, knowing that he was the best player on the floor.
Well, he got two more games to try to get to see this moment. Because I think Kawhi had one, but not this game, but the game before. I think Kawhi had one.
Sure.
The one where he came down the hole and dunked on everybody.
And double dribbled.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the Euro step that wasn't a Euro step, but was a travel by Giannis?
Sure.
Okay.
Giannis does outscore Kawhi last night, but Kawhi was obviously hobbled last night. You were able to see last night that Kawhi Leonard was not playing at 100%, and I think that was one of the other reasons why last night was so strange for Bucks fans to see.
For real talk, I didn't think Toronto would have it last night.
No.
Real talk.
Didn't expect to see that effort out of Toronto last night.
Caught me way by surprise.
That's why we had all been talking about it on the show. Like, it was almost a done deal.
Way by surprise.
That was a reality check of sports last night.
Way by surprise. But what's happening, Bledsoe still no Bledsoe. Still, I mean, Lopez, Mirotić. I mean, didn't we get outscored? Did their bench outscored our bench last night, didn't they?
Yes, it did.
Wasn't.
Not even close.
Wasn't.
Right. And that may be an outlier. I don't know. Whoever thought that could happen?
Who also thought that Norm Powell would lead the Raptors in shooting in 18 attempts last night, Sparky?
Dude, he's killed the Bucks. He killed them last time they saw him in the playoffs, killed him again. Van Vliet finally got going last night for the first time in like a month. He hit shots for the first time last night. And something Nick Nurse did last night, which is what he should have done from game one, and I was ripping him on the air for it.
What's that?
He finally played Ibaka more minutes. Ibaka finally got 24 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. There is no reason to play Gasol 40 minutes ever again in this series. Ibaka and Siakam together are doing more than enough against the Bucks to create problems. And now the Bucks have to decide what they want to do. Are you going to continue to switch and double and leave guys wide open for threes like the Jason Kidd era? Or are you going to go back to how you were playing defense during the regular season, which is not switching nearly as much of everybody else, not running as many double teams? They have to figure that out. Both teams shot better than they had for most of the series. Both teams, Bucks shot like 46%, Raptors shot like 47%. There were a couple games in this series, both teams shot 36, 37%. So both teams scored by far. I just think the biggest deal really was both benches really decided this game. George Hill went cold. Ilya Sova got some shots, but didn't get enough to be a huge difference maker at the end of the day. And Brogdon was horrible. It was horrible.
Malcolm Brogdon was bad.
Couldn't hit a shot to save his life. He was at the rim multiple times and couldn't finish.
2 for 11.
That's very unlike Malcolm Brogdon. He's one of the more consistent players on this basketball team all year long. Now, if he comes out here in game five and he's just as bad as he was in game four, well, that's going to be a problem. I can't see that happening, but it could be.
Let me ask you guys something. And I don't remember, and it's top of my head. I'm just thinking here, top of my head. Where was Toronto last year in the playoffs? What did they?
They lost to LeBron.
Like they did every year.
Semifinals.
And that's why Casey got fired, because he couldn't beat LeBron.
In the semifinals. So a game before this game.
Yes.
And what about the year before
that? The year before that in 2016, 2017 is, I believe, when they went to the Eastern Conference Finals
and lost to LeBron.
So is this team relatively the same without Kawhi?
This team is much better than Kawhi.
Huh?
This team is much better than Kawhi.
Yeah, but I mean, some of the same players.
Yeah, I mean, Siakam came into his own this year for the first time. I mean, he's a young player, obviously, mm-hmm. So he's really made a difference. They trade for Gasol at the deadline. He's been a big influence on their starting lineup, allowing them to bring Ibaka off the bench. So, I mean, there are some different pieces, obviously.
They traded a lot of their bench, like two or three guys key off their bench in that Valanciunas deal to get Gasol.
Right, but think about it. Last year, there was no Danny Green. There was no Kawhi Leonard. There was no Marc Gasol at this point. I mean, three of your starting five are new guys, and Siakam wasn't this guy.
Different.
Yeah. That for sure.
Yep. But some parts of this team, Bob, if you look at Kawhi, that Toronto team, we would then agree, has more experience than the Bucks.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And yes. They're led by a guy that's a multiple time also that was in all of those series, in Kyle Lowry.
Right.
Who's playing like a dude.
He's left over. Okay.
Lowry's left over. And Lowry's playing like a guy that knows the moment, like you just said, that has a lot of playoff experience, but hasn't been able to taste that fruit of getting to the NBA Finals. 414-799-1250. What went wrong for the Bucks? They lose 120-102. Wendy's Big Show's got cash for you. We got Post Game Meets the Big Show. And we're going to be...
It's warm in here.
...talking about one of the craziest Brewer games I've seen in a long time. It's now 8-6. Brewers were down 5-0 after the first half inning of play. Reds with the bases loaded. And somehow, some way today, in the middle of all the Bucks chatter, I'm going to talk about why I'm just done talking about Derek Johnson. And I do not like that man at all. It's the Wendy's Big Show with cash all day long.
Oh,
obviously, we got to take care of home. It's our job, but I don't think there's pressure. You know, we just got to go out there, have fun, play good basketball, be us, and try to win.
Giannis, I'm going to politely disagree. There is pressure on you guys. I will tell you that right now. Bucks lose back-to-back games in Toronto last night, get blown out by 18, 120, 102. And for back-to-back nights, the Bucks don't cover, which is a rarity, Sparky. And I've been talking about that quite often.
But you didn't touch it?
I did not. 9-3 coming into the game on Sunday night against teams on the road as a dog. They lose. And then last night, 22-1. On the season, coming back against the spread on games where they follow up a loss. And they fall once again, and this time in horrific fashion, unlike that Phoenix game.
So you were down in the Deer District yesterday, right?
I was. I was down in the Deer District during the first half, hung out outside, watched a game up on the screen, then got into a table up at Punch Bowl Social late for the second half. Once everything was pretty much done, and I mean, the mood was just somber there through the entire fourth quarter. It was wild.
She just went and picked up a couple bowling balls and bowled.
I was going, I'm just not a good bowler.
It doesn't have to be a punch bowl
I'm
social.
I'm embarrassingly bad,
Nobody good is bowling a punch bowl social. Everybody's grabbing house balls, but they got those TVs you can watch the games on.
It was fantastic. Yeah. We were up there in that top level. It was fantastic. Gary, you guys were down there. The atmosphere was fantastic. It was upsetting. As you're walking up during that first quarter, and obviously the Bucks make the big run, 12-5, you start out the game, and you have the Giannis monster dunk. He's yelling, yeah, to everybody, fist pumping, mean mugging, Drake sitting down. We'll get into that a little bit more later, but the place is going nuts, and then the air just goes out of the building.
Issue.
Oh, it's an issue, Gary.
It is. I mean,
and Stevie and I have incredibly differing opinions on it. I can't wait to hear what yours is because Stevie and I are going to go.
It's going to be side with one of you guys, probably.
That's what's fun about the Wendy's Big Show. Oh, they're very different. Mike's on the south side of Milwaukee, up on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. Mike, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
How are you guys doing today?
Hey, good. Buddy.
Good. You know, this is the thing. They had a great year, and if you were to ask every fan, did you expect them to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? If people were honest, most people would have said no. But as the season went on, they got better and better, had 60 wins, won their first two playoff series. All of a sudden, everybody's putting up these high expectations of winning the championship. That's a lot of pressure on a very young team. The only guy in there that really has playoff experience, or a lot of it, is George Hill. Gasol's sitting on a bench. He's hurt. I mean, the Bucks have been in the playoffs the last couple of years, but not at this level. This is like the cream of the crop right now, Eastern Conference Finals. So do they have a chance to pull this series out? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think it's time to start jumping off a building. But you know what? I was at the 1974 Boston Celtics Milwaukee Bucks Championship in Game 7. So when it comes to Game 7, and I hope everybody understands it, that's not a guarantee you're going to win just because you're at home. So they got to play as hard as they can these next two games so it doesn't even get to Game 7.
No doubt.
And that's the problem.
Appreciate the call, Mike. And Sparky, we mentioned it a little bit yesterday and didn't want to get everybody in a panic, but there is a little bit of a history in this last decade and a half of Wisconsin sports teams struggling in the championship round. Do you feel that football happening? That fear coming in the minds of Bucks fans right now? Because obviously, Mike's true. Game 7's no guarantee.
I think a lot of people are going off of what happened last year with Boston, which is, boy, Game 7 would have been at home, we would have won and would have advanced in the playoffs, but it wasn't, so we lost. And now the assumption is the same, that, well, Game 7 is here, we don't lose at home, so they're not beating us here, we'll win Game 5 and Game 7 and advance to the NBA Finals. Maybe that's what will play out. I tend to agree that there is no guarantees of anything at this point when you get to a Game 7, because anything can happen. You could have a couple bad ref calls to decide a game. You could have a turnover late off of somebody's knee, some fluke play could decide a game. You could have Giannis missing free throws at the end to decide a game. You just don't know what happens in a Game 7. I agree with him. Look, the sooner you get this over, the better. I'd rather avoid a Game 7 than have to look forward to playing a Game 7 on Monday night.
Rams on the south side. Rams on the north side. Sorry, Ram, you're on the fan, buddy.
Yeah, what's going on, Gary and Sparky?
What's up, Ram?
You know, I'm going to say this. Don't mix the regular season with the playoffs, Nicky T. You should just cut that off. This has nothing to do with the regular season. Like Gary always said, the playoffs is a whole different animal. And what I see now, it comes down to five skill set and talent difference makers.
Yep.
And Norman Powell is a baller. I've seen him play in high school AAU. He can go. Danny Green is a baller. I don't care how bad a shooter he is. In these moments, this is when you got to pay attention to him. And that's what you see. And then we know Kawhi going to be Kawhi. And then you got to remember, Ibaka, he's been in the finals. He's not no scrub. I mean, maybe he's not playing in front of Gasol, and Gasol is a champion too. So you got five players that got deep playoff experience, and you got George Hill on one side. And what I know as a ball player, Gary, tell you this, when you get into those clutch moments, sometimes players, they get shattered, or they run from the ball, or they don't know what to do with the ball. And what I noticed last night is, and no one's saying this, the matchup between Lowry and Bledsoe is 81-33, like scoring. And people, they were trashing Lowry, like, nothing, Sparky. I'm like, really? I didn't say nothing. Now, I say this, going forward, it's a new day. And Kawhi, now, he doing this and he was hurt. He still had four steals. I mean, he hobbling and still had four steals. Yeah, he did have a double dribble on that one move, but, you know, they missed some calls going back and forth. But what we got to find out now is who is going to be that difference maker now. Because now the Raptors looking it up. We even. You know, we go back and forth with you guys. But I want to hear that. But, Gary, I'll say this. What last night game reminded me of this, and you can attest to this. You know, you go to the gym and you got your guys there, and y'all done won like five in a row, and it's the next team up, and y'all just got enough gas, and then y'all can just pull it out and just still beat the team that's fresh. That's what last night game kind of looked like to me. Like, both teams were tired. Toronto might be a little bit more tired, but they had more will. They had a little bit more will.
Appreciate the call. And, Gary, we talked about this, too, where a lot of times it comes down to when your supporting cast, your bench guys, your non-frontline players will play better at home. All of Toronto's players that were outside of Kawhi Leonard, who he scored under 20 points, but like like Ram said, and it was a very good point, still had four steals, and he impacted the game every moment that he was on the floor. Yeah, but their supporting staff played like the Bucks' supporting staff played in game two.
Yeah, that pretty much. I mean, that's... Or, you know, or Lopez in game one.
Right.
Right. I mean, you just, well, I mean, they just got to somehow, do you question yourself right now who's the better team? As now that you're looking at this team, Steve.
No.
Do you question yourself right now who's the better team?
No, the Bucks are the better basketball team, Gary, because the bench shot well for this one game of four. It does not change my opinion. No, they're the better basketball team. I expect them to win the series.
Would you then say that then you are surprised that it's 2-2?
I am surprised that the Bucks' lack of energy and effort happened in game four of this series. I'm surprised that they got out-hustled on the boards. I'm surprised that any type of loose ball that happened, Toronto was all over. I'm surprised that Giannis got shook a little bit.
He did get shook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, surprised. I didn't think that was going to happen. There were things that surprised me in that game.
So then you were surprised that it's 2-2?
Yeah, because I didn't. Obviously, right. I thought they'd win in five and then four. And now I'm back to five, and now I'm done with all that. But I'm just.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
It doesn't matter.
Are we surprised that it's 2-2?
Yeah.
I think most people are surprised
for sure.
That it's 2-2.
Yeah. Because, again, in the first half of that game, I'm sitting there, I'm watching it, and I'm going, okay, both teams are shooting well. This is a good basketball game. That's all right. The question is, can Toronto continue to shoot this well for the entire second half?
Yeah, we don't know.
I knew the Bucks could, but I didn't know if Toronto could shoot that well for the second half. And they did shoot that well for the second half. Literally, at halftime, I'm thinking to myself, okay, Bucks will flip the switch, pick up the intensity, which they clearly don't have.
Let me back up
and
one
then
real
we'll
quick.
See what happens. And they just never did it.
Why do you think Giannis was shook? Well, what led you believe that he was shook?
His lack of aggressiveness completely changed. He wasn't the same player he was in the 3-4 minutes, huh?
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. We're just guessing and speculating. But I think the missed free throw embarrassed him. You could tell the look on his face.
That got him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drake running his mouth nonstop did not help anything either along those lines. Look, man, you can say whatever y'all want about, man, you got to tune that stuff out. You can't hear that stuff or whatever.
Some guys
else.
Can't.
Listen, somebody texted me this last night about maybe he is their Spike Lee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spike
2.0.
Lee, Spike Lee was in Reggie Miller's head.
All
you
time.
Can say whatever you want.
Some guys can't.
Okay, and you hear it and you got to react. Either you step up and you play well in those moments or you shrivel. And with all due respect, this Bucks team has shriveled. And that's something that's got to change. It just does because he knows he's in their head. He knows it as much as anybody knows he's in their head right now. Yeah, that's so, got to stop. Yeah. And he's not talking crap just to Giannis. He's talking crap to the whole team.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they need to step up and do it. And he needs to be here in Milwaukee.
Who needs to be in Milwaukee?
Drake.
What do you mean?
He wants him at
the game. He needs to be there game five. Spike went on the road.
Oh, Spike could go on the road.
Spike
now.
Went to Indiana.
Yeah.
But if you know that the bully's here, you got to go and beat him up right there. You're not going to run away from him. We'll get into that a little bit later.
See? A little bit later.
Because Steve doesn't believe in what I'm just saying. But 414-799-1250. Bucks lose last night 120-102 to the Toronto Raptors. Top 6, 8-6 right now. The Cincinnati Reds with Joey Votto up at the dish, up on the Brewers. We got postgame meets the big show after that. We got your chance at $1,000 in 2 minutes. And Bart Winkler and Anthony Mandela. Wendy's Big Show's back after this.
The feeling's not any different. Still got to get better, and I'm sticking that game plan. Just got to play with more energy, execute better. But you know, our feeling is the same. It doesn't change. You know, they did their job. You know, they protected the home, and we got to do our job now.
Bucks get a chance to protect home floor. That's what the Raptors did. They did their job. 120-102. All knotted up at twos as Game 5 comes back to Fiserv Forum tomorrow night for a Thursday. It'll be a throwback Thursday on the Wendy's Big Show with Janet Jackson tomorrow. Getting you ready for Game 5. Tim Allen will be in here. Gary Ellerson. As guys, I know I shouldn't say this. I'm really mad at my friend for getting married this weekend. Can I say that? Is that bad of me to say?
When did he make the plans for the wedding?
Long time ago.
So how the hell was he supposed to know the Bucks would have been to the Eastern Conference Finals in like 20 years? This was going to be the year we were going to screw over every Bucks fan.
You couldn't have just figured it out and said, let's do it in late June.
Get out of here.
Memorial Day weekend. You know, there's still a chance.
Goodness gracious. You need to stop.
I asked,
and you know how this goes down, baby Tosh. He didn't make the arrangements.
Well, I don't because I don't plan on getting married anytime soon.
Well, I mean, when you do, you're just going to say, yeah, okay, that's
you're going to show up and go do it.
Uh-huh.
That's what we've been told.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've been told. Just show up and do it. I asked, I was like, hey, is there any chance I could maybe be a little bit late, rehearsal dinner tomorrow? He said, dude, just show up and do it.
Right.
So, okay, that's what we'll do. We'll do that. What we do for our boys, that's mm-hmm. for sure. Wendy's Big Show, Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, 414-799-1250. Did the Bucks need this adversity, Gary?
Yeah, I think this is what we see as a maturation of the Milwaukee Bucks. I would go back to what Steve said. What I don't like, yeah, they do. This is all uncharted waters for these guys. They've never done it. Your leader, Steve said it, look a little shaken last night. That can't happen. I mean, they're going to go as far as he's going to take them. So that ultimately can't happen. He can't show that. I mean, but he's learning. I mean, he's never dealt with anything like that before. I mean, and he's not ever going to be Reggie Miller to put the choke sign up. I mean, that's not who Giannis is. But if they're going to win this thing, it's going to have to be about him. I mean, it just is. We can talk about role players, bench players, and all that, but he's what we talked about before. He's got to man up and do something. I don't know what it is, but he's going to have to do something.
It's tough to know what it is outside of what he's been trying to
do. Right, because, they know, top of the key, I keep saying, top of the key, here I come, dribbling full.
Coming right at you.
Because I got nothing else.
Yep.
I got nothing else to give you.
I'll hit you a Euro step. Maybe I'll try to spin.
Toronto is one of the few teams that have enough guys that can defend him if he's trying to do that.
Sparky, Eric Name's going to join us during the 5 o'clock hour. But last night, he was pretty steadfast on the fact that the Bucks hadn't faced any adversity like this. And they really haven't. We all know that. They haven't faced adversity this all year long. But also in the playoffs, this was kind of the fear that they had not reached playoff adversity in later rounds than just the first round in Giannis's career yet. Do you think they needed this last night?
No, but I don't think anybody needs to lose. No. Look, Golden State, if they get to the NBA Finals, they're going to lose a couple games to Golden State, right? So that's what's going to happen in that playoff round. Whether they lose last night or not, when they get to Golden State in the NBA Finals, they're going to lose a couple games. They're not sweeping Golden State. So from that perspective, this was going to happen sooner rather than later. They've lost games in the playoffs before. They lost games against Boston last year, and that thing went all the way down to the end. So they've been here as far as being in a 2-2 series and trying to figure out how to get it done. Giannis has been here multiple times, I believe. Well, game 6, game 7, whatever you want to call it. Grandal just hit a 2-run homer for the
Let's
Brewers
go.
To tie it
Win
at
this game.
8 against the Cincinnati
Please.
Reds. Neither starting pitcher made it more than 3 innings today. They're only in the bottom of the 6th currently, and they've been playing for 2.5 hours.
And Castillo and Davies were both in the top 5 in ERA coming into the game. Across Major League Baseball, neither of them last past the third inning, like you just said, Stevie. 8-8 in the bottom half of the 6th. Bucks lose last night, 414-799-1250. KJ's in West Dallas. He's on the fan. What's going on, KJ?
Aloha, my brother.
Thanks Aloha.
For taking my call. Hey, listen, for me, this comes down to a couple of things. I think the Raptors in the last couple of games have flipped the script on the Bucks. They've taken away their strengths. And what are they? Their defense and their bench, and those are their biggest assets. They play smothering defense, and they have been doing that. They've been leaving guys open all over the court, and these guys have been hitting their shots. And like Shaq says, the others have come through for the Raptors, and the Bucks others have not. The guys off the bench have not performed the way that they did in the first two games, and that has a lot to do with being on the road. I think they'll be better at home in Milwaukee. But you have to do something different with Giannis. He can't just dribble the ball down, especially when they're taking the ball out of the basket and they're playing a half-court game. The Bucks are not that good in a half-court game. Their game is transition basketball. And that's when they're playing that defense that they've been playing all year, and they get out and Bledsoe can run down the court.
But see, that's the thing. They've changed their defense. They changed their defense in the playoffs because Bledsoe went and asked Budenholzer and begged Budenholzer to let him switch more and play like how they played under Jason Kidd. And that's what they've been doing. And that's why last night you were seeing guys wide open making shots. Prior to this, guys were wide open, but they were missing shots.
Yeah. But Sparky, the whole thing is they're too late into the shot clock when they're in that half court, the Bucks are.
That's because you got guys dribbling the air out of the ball.
Yeah, I know. They're taking the air out of the ball. Giannis is dribbling right into the teeth of the defense, which they know it's so predictable. He tries to shoot the ball out to the corners, to the elbow, and the guys are missing the shots. Boom. They lose the ball. Raptors are running when they get the ball, the rebound. And that's what I mean by flipping the script. That's what the Bucks do to teams. They've been doing that all year. Now they're not doing that because the Raptors are making their shots and they're running. When did you see a guy like Lowry, the last two guys, be as effective as he has been in the last two games? Then you get guys, you know, that you didn't expect to hit those shots, you know, for the Raptors. And it's just they got to change some things. They got to tweak a little bit of their offense, run the pick and roll, and do something different, man.
I don't know
because
if they ever
do
pick
the same
and roll.
Thing. I don't think they're going to have a chance.
Thanks for
appreciate
the
it, KJ.
That was brought up on the broadcast too about Budenholzer.
I think they ever do.
They were calling into a timeout, and Weber or Miller, one of them, brought up like maybe it's time to run some pick and rolls for the Milwaukee Bucks. And it is what it is. And now this is going to be Budenholzer in the playoffs, having to make adjustments and figure out what they want to do. Mirotić looks slow.
Mm-hmm.
He looks slow against Ibaka and stuff. And
I just thought he'd be a better shooter.
At the end of last night's show, I worked up the confidence to make a statement, and I'll make it on the big show too, because I never in my wildest dreams ever thought I'd ever say
Perfect.
This in that, this season. If they play Ibaka again for 24, 25 minutes, whatever it is, you may need to run DJ Wilson out there in 5-minute segments and see if he can handle Ibaka more than Mirotić. You need longer, athletic guys that can
deal with
Ibaka. You just do, and I don't, I know that they don't want to play DJ Wilson in the playoffs necessarily, any type of crunch time minutes or whatever, no, but don't. I think you got to start considering it, because Mirotić was having all kinds of problems. Whether if he got switched up and had to go against the guard, he had no prayer because he's not quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then he couldn't deal with Ibaka. I just, for me, I think you have to consider it at this point. I do. And whether or not they do or not, we'll have to wait and see.
I saw a lot of DJ Wilson love on Twitter last night, too, that people were calling for DJ. Didn't think you'd see, like you said, I didn't think you'd ever say that.
The problem, if Mirotić could score, it would even it out.
Which is why he was brought in.
But see, that's part of it. DJ Wilson can hit an occasional three just like Mirotić has, because Mirotić hasn't gotten caught fire yet.
You're right, but Mirotić is a better shooter.
Yes.
But you're right, if he can hit an occasional, but he's just, DJ Wilson is just all hustle. I mean,
they needed that last night.
And body, mm-hmm. you know.
Because he's athletic. Got a pro body now. Yep, yeah. He's athletic enough. Mm-hmm. And they need somebody that's going to be able, because you're right, when you're throwing three dudes out there in Lopez, Mirotić, and Giannis, who are all at least 6'10", right. Obviously we know Giannis is an athletic freak, but you're going to look slow when you're switching off on guards like that and you're getting put in tough situations like that. 414-799-1250. Did the Bucks need this adversity? 414-799-1250. Eric Name's going to join us later on in the program. He was talking about it a lot and had a cool article on The Athletic about it, discussing the adversity that the Bucks haven't seen all year long. We'll get into a little bit more of that and get into your phone calls as well. 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show all day long until postgame meets the Big Show. We'll keep some Bucks conversation blended in with the Brewers. Tim Allen's here. Cash is coming your way. Put a grand in your hand with our national text contest. And no deals at Wendy's today, but Friday it could be, Sparky.
Heck, Friday could be. They play again tomorrow night when the Bucks win. You win at Wendy's. Every time the Bucks win, you have 24 hours to go to any participating Wendy's and get either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger with the purchase of a medium drink. So if they win tomorrow night, after the game tomorrow night or on Friday, you can go to Wendy's and take advantage of that great deal. What's going on right now, no matter if the Bucks win or lose, 50-cent Frosties at Wendy's. Whether you like chocolate or vanilla, eat it with a cookie, a spoon, or a fry, it's just 50 cents. Hurry into Wendy's and treat yourself to a 50-cent small Frosty today at participating Wendy's for a limited time.
Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Guys, let me tell you about my guys over at Bofording Beer. I love Bofording Beer. I had my man Santo sent me a picture. He was having a playoff Bofording last night. Best way to do it before a Bucks game, grab a premium quality beer. It's premium quality because they make it with superior ingredients to everybody else. Only 100% natural barley, hops, and fresh spring water used in the production. Guys, we're talking about over 250 years of family-owned brewing experience with Bofording Beer. They've been family-owned since 1764 in the country of Luxembourg, and ever since then, they've been crafting their brews to achieve the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness. Everything in the Bofording lineup, from the crisp Pilsner, the flagship beer, to the smooth triple ale, the delicious fruit ale, and the balanced brewing that's selling great, guys. They're all designed to give you the full flavor of beer that doesn't fill you up, and you're not going to... Here's a little secret. I'm going to let you in on why Bofording beer is so good. Unlike all those other imports that you're drinking, they're all sellouts. They sold out some gigantic corporation. They make it in these big barrels, these random warehouses, this long, all these lead of people making it. No, this is a family-owned brewery, and they make it with a personal family touch. Guys, we're going to learn so much about it when the owner of Bofording Beer comes here for an event that I'm personally inviting you right now to. Burgers and Brews with Bofording at Turner Hall on Tuesday, May 28th from 6 to 9 p.m. Casual, no ticket, come anytime
burgers
event.
And brews.
You can grab one of three. You can grab all three. Specially made burgers matched with a specific Bofording.
Uh-huh.
Sample the entire line of a beer. You get to grab a burger and hang out with the owner of Bofording. He's flying in from Luxembourg for this and to hang out with Bofording Bill, and you can too. You can have a chance to win some free glassware, shirt, swag at Burgers and Brews with Bofording at Turner Hall, May 28th from 6 to 9 p.m. 414-799-1250.
If Chuck Freeman was doing it would be four B's.
Four B's. Burgers and Brews with Bofording and Broads.
Yeah, it is.
Come on, Ellie. We can hang out there, Ellie. We can hang out there, Ellie. 414-799-1250, Wendy's Big Show. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby. Tosh, that's Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. Steve Sparky Fiverr's in here right now and joining us On the phone line at 414-799-1250 is Gary's guy, Sean and Racine. Sean, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. I don't know what was more frustrating last night, dealing with the way the Bucks were playing as a whole outside of Middleton, the commentating at times, or Drake. But I did watch the whole thing, and I agree with Gary about with Giannis trying to start out in the half court from the top of the key. Kenny even made reference to it in the pregame show. He's sitting there when he's coming at him from the top without a head of steam, not being in a fast break. He's got a wall in front of him of three-plus guys. And when he's trying to kick it out and either turning it over or guys aren't hitting their shot, it's not productive. When he's getting it all of a sudden from the side or he gets up and running in transition, it's a lot better. They do need to make some changes as far as trying to get Giannis to the hole easier than trying to get him running through the wall, because it's obviously not working. And I don't know what the deal is with his free throw shooting. Honestly, I think it's just like it is with his mid-range and three-point shooting. It's partially confidence. He hits it, he feels it, he gets going, but when he misses bad or all of a sudden he thinks he's off, he ends up, how do you miss every other free throw like that consistently? When you see him in pre-games, of course, it's different during the game. There's all these screaming fans, there's a bunch of junk going on. You got to be able to work through it, but how does he airball it? I don't get that. I still think they can pull it together if they make the proper changes, and I just don't see that many guys being that off the entire game again. I mean, Lopez ended up only making like – he took like, what, three shots practically the whole game? He made two out of three from threes, but then he wasn't doing much else besides that, and I have never seen Brogdon shoot that bad the entire time he's been in the NBA. I don't know what was up. But hopefully they find a way to pull this off, especially protecting home court, because if they lose this game tomorrow night, it might be over. But I still think they can win it. It's probably just going to take seven now.
Appreciate the call, Sean. Gary, when you think of that, when you're at the top of the key and you've been saying head of steam, this is where I'm going, is there any way that you can combat that if you're trying to scheme it out? Or is that just you're going to have to deal with it and try to make those plays when you have the opportunity now?
What do you mean? Should Giannis do something different?
Like, well, is there something that the rest of the team can do to open him up when he's at the top of the key like that?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, hit their threes.
Okay.
Because they're going to be open, right?
Right.
And he's going to kick it out. They got to make their shots. And that's not happening. I mean, that's part of their problem, which we were discussing yesterday. They don't have a bona fide real shooter they on this team. They got if come maybes. Like, who may step up this game? I don't know, but we'll have to wait and see.
Sure.
We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have that, and they've been looking for that guy, right, Steve? I mean, that's why they went and got Mirotić. I mean, that's why they – who's the other guy? Who's the guy they drafted?
Oh, DiVincenzo.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they – I mean, they know what they need. They just don't have it all right now to go with – until Giannis figure out something else, this is going to be their Achilles heel right now.
But see, that's the thing. They were hitting threes during the season. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were number one in the league.
3-point shooting teams in the league.
Right. And now you get to this crunch time now, and now it's failed them a little bit. And that's what happens when you rely on the outside jump shot. It's going to come and go.
But we knew all along there wasn't that one guy, though.
Correct.
These playoff games, for the Bucks to be out attempted from three?
No. No.
41 attempts from downtown in comparison to 35, Toronto winning that battle last night.
But I didn't think they'd get out-rebounded either. So, I mean, just in general.
Number one rebounding team all year long.
That game in general, just across the board, I didn't expect a lot of what I saw last night.
Mark's in New Berlin. He's on the Fan. Hi, Mark.
Well, gentlemen. I felt like I must have a crystal ball. Didn't I tell you this, Sparky?
You did. You didn't call the post-game show, but you did tell me.
I didn't call when the Bucks win.
Right.
The Bucks didn't win, so I went to sleep.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
But I'm just saying, I mean, can't you see this team is talented, this Toronto team? They didn't get to this Eastern Conference Finals by saying, oh, we want to be there. They're good. This is a good team. I mean, they rebound. They out-rebound us. They got Giannis's number. I mean, the fans got to realize that this team is for real. I don't know how everybody in Milwaukee thinks, oh, this team, Boston is so much better. Boston isn't better than Toronto. No way. Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he's a bona fide all-star. I mean, what more do we have to do here? We're not going to win the series. Adversity? Yeah, the adversity is good. This isn't adversity. This is, what do they call it when you get back from the war? PTSD. You need Dr. Phil to talk to these players. We got beat down I mean, there's no way they're coming back.
So tell me something. What has to change between now and next year for them to beat the Raptors if they keep Kawhi Leonard?
If they keep to beat the Raptors between now and next year?
If they keep Kawhi, yeah.
We have to get rid of Eric Bledsoe somehow.
You already signed him to a 4-year deal. You ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, if we're stuck there, who do we got? Who can come in?
We need to find a shooter.
Kawhi Leonard made Brogdon look like a D-League player. I mean, it's just a sad situation in Milwaukee.
Brogdon shouldn't be guarding Kawhi Leonard to begin with.
No, I would agree. Appreciate the call.
That's part of the problem. And Bledsoe made all first defensive team in the NBA today.
They need a shooter.
I was surprised by that. I don't know about anybody else. Him and Giannis both made it. So that was good. And yeah, they're going to continue to look to add shooters. I think that's clear as day. And Brook Lopez, where has Brook Lopez gone all of a sudden? Because him taking threes and making threes was a thing all season long. Mm-hmm. And Brook Lopez, nowhere to be found here in the last couple of games.
414-799-1250, top of the hour. Get to a break, get to a sports flash, get you a chance at $1,000. Bucks lose last night, 121-02. Anthony Mandela and Bart Winkler have the latest for Miller Park in the sports flash.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.